We are live with Daphne.
Iga Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn, Issue 4 is now on Kickstarter. Iga Raven, a half-unicorn, half-human princess, finds herself the unwitting pawn of a headstrong noblewoman trying to avoid an arranged marriage. But she finds a silver lining as she competes to become a knight. But her travels reveal many hardships and a growing obsession. Please check out all of the different levels, and this is also your last chance to collect my popular variant covers. So head on over to Kickstarter to make your pledge today.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crease tonight?
In the House of Crease tonight, big shout out to Daphne Lage, who has her final day of her Kickstarter right now. So make sure you sign up for that. But we're going to have Digital Lizards of Doom. It's the Kickstarter project from Gabriel Valentine, and he is with Lesser Known Comics, which we had on the show prior. So that's coming up next live.
Let's go on with next live. Let's get it.
We are the only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. I know you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. It is Tuesday, April 12th. It is 7 p.m. here on the East Coast, 4 p.m. in the West Coast, 6 p.m. wherever you is at, Sam. Without keeping it geekly, Cody. And we welcome you to another show. We are going to be talking today with the author, creator of Digital Lizards of Doom, Mr. Gabriel Valentine, and Mark Brunell will be joining us as well. He is of Lesser Known Comics, and which actually was on the show back in November of last year, November 19th to be exact. It was episode 333. So if you guys don't know, check that out. How will you know that? If you subscribe to the channel, go back into the archives and check all that stuff out. So make sure you subscribe, you like, you comment, you do all of that fun stuff. And but welcome everyone. Welcome Nita, welcome Cody. Listen, we're gonna have some fun tonight. We're gonna be talking to these guys, but what's going on with you, Sammy?
What's going down, James Brown? So I've just been working harder than I've ever worked, from 7 a.m. to midnight. I'm trying to get done in 6 weeks. Well, most companies have the vision to do it a year, because if you guys already know, I'm going to Licensing Expo. And so between the marketing deck, the pitch decks, the banners and the booth setup and everything else, it's just been going crazy. I've been working really, 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 really hard on that. Sent out to all of the Kickstarter rewards are out. So anybody who had the coloring book and the guidebooks, those went out. Was it yesterday? Did I talk to you? Was I at the post office?
Yeah,
yesterday morning. So yesterday morning, they went out yesterday morning. So you should be getting it by the end of the week or sooner. All depends on where you live. And Ray's Comics and Collectibles, yours goes out tomorrow because you had a big package. That's going out tomorrow. That was a big one.
Easy. Obviously, you're looking. Leave Ray alone. Jesus.
We need dividers at the urinals. But
oh, my God. It's like... So yeah, all right. Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for your support. Yeah. So that's going down. And don't forget, still at the same time, you know, getting ready for Expo, but also promoting the landing page for issue number 2 of Disneyland on My Toilet. So if you haven't signed up yet, sign up, because we want to make this one even bigger than the last one. So thank you to everybody who supported it and made it a successful campaign. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough about me. You know. Oh, wait. But yes, again, yeah, here it is. Licensing Expo. So in Vegas, Licensing Expo, I'll be at booth D104. I have a corner booth. You'll see me and my boy Johnny Syfax. We'll be there. And I'll be getting my pitch on. So, again, booth D104 at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center.
Yeah, Vegas, baby. Vegas. Yes. Yeah, no, big shout out. Big shout out to that. And just to piggyback on Dan, what up, man? Just to piggyback on what Sam was saying about Disneyland in My Toilet, if you guys have already received some of the swag, please send over some images. Feedback, you know, feedback. Let Sam know what you thought of the story, you know,
or,
you know, all of that stuff. Just make sure that you throw some of that feedback back to him. And so that, you know, he knows what you liked or what you didn't like, you know. That's important. That's important.
And but also, the Wonder Duck is making some moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, it's April 12th. So we're less than a month away, obviously, from my Kickstarter campaign, which I'm very excited about. I can't even talk about it enough. But thank you to everyone who has already signed up to the pre-launch page. The launch is on May 4th, and we're going to be here live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the launch, May 4th. And at 8:30 p.m., which will be 7:30 your time, and it'll be 5:30 p.m. on the West Coast, I will be hitting that button and launching it. So, you know, you want to come in, you want to stay tuned for that. But also, if you haven't signed up for the pre-launch page, please do so right now. I am still, you know, giving away.
He's now. Candyman who can make the sun rise.
Give it away now. We yes. have a PDF of Wonder Duck that I am giving away to all those who signed up for the pre-launch page. So before the campaign even goes live, I am sending you guys this bad boy in the form of a PDF. Now,
which means please donate funds.
If you do happen to pledge to the campaign, please let me know that you do in fact sign up so that I have your information, so that when you do pledge, if you decide to pledge, I can send you a printed copy of that bad boy, nice little card stock. I can send you a print of that. You can do this to it, as I've done with it. I haven't hung it up, but I've done this to it already. So make sure you do that. But thanks to everyone. That's just as a thank you for signing up to the pre-launch page. I appreciate you guys.
Word.
Very much. Very Word. Much.
I have a bone to pick, though, bro.
Uh-oh. What happened? ¿Qué
pasó? Oh, I don't understand Dallas, bro. So the Dallas Fan Expo is... what, a couple months away?
Yeah.
And I still haven't
not gotten, even. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it is. It's in June.
Yeah, right? It's in June. I still haven't gotten word on my table. But they put a list of all of the mainstream artists, but I'm still waiting. I'm like, what the bloody hell?
Does that mean that you're not in it? Does that mean that they're waiting to see who drops out and then you're just going to be like, hey, you still want to come?
Where's the love?
That's kind of, you know what it is, though, with that? It's kind of wrong because you got to prepare for this thing, right? You got to know, you got to print stuff out. You got to let people know you're going to be there, promote it, all that stuff. And they're not giving you enough time.
It's no bueno.
No bueno, bro. No bueno.
Yeah, no. Right. Fund George in 24 hours.
Nah, yo, dude. Listen.
George will be funded in the first hour.
Nah. I honestly think it's probably going to be about a week. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's the first hour.
Nah, you crazy. I wish. That would be amazing. The
first hour, you have to get up and do a Wonder Duck dance.
If it's in the first hour, I have to get up and do a Wonder Duck dance.
That's it. Quack, quack. They got to do it. Yes.
I told you to choreograph it for me. You come up with it. You let me know, dog. You let me know. Yes. Well, you gotta let me know. I'm not. Listen, this is the thing. Did Fan Expo take your money yet? They ran my card.
Yeah. You know, they put it on a holding pattern. It's like escrow. It's like it goes to a holding pattern, but you know,
not for nothing.
Tomorrow.
Not for nothing, but Kickstarter needs to take a page out of the expo. Swipe the card, put a hold on it,
so
that, you know what I mean, for the funds on Kickstarter.
People
sometimes
change their minds last minute. You think it's there, they're like, wait, where'd it go?
¿Qué pasó? You know how many times, and I feel bad, you know how many times I pledged, I'm like, ooh, but I can't do it. I refuse to do it. I refuse to change it. If I am going to change my pledge at any moment, it's going to be for more money.
Yes. Because I did that. I did that with Daphne.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like I wanted to help her get the back account. So I just pledged real quick. And then I wait, you know, then a few weeks later, I was like, all right, now let me go and browse because she had 14.
Man, appreciate you, brother.
She had 14 options. And so I was like, I went back a couple of weeks later and then I upped it, you know, and then I picked which tier that I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, and if I am, if for whatever reason I have to maybe drop or take money out, I'm going to contact that creator and be like, dude, I apologize. Or even, you know, if she's a female, I'm going to apologize and say, you know, I'm dropping down a little bit because right now, whatever. I'm going to let them know. I just feel like.
Oh, I had somebody. I got a better story. I had somebody ask me to create a tier specifically for them. Right. And so I created a tier. And then they pulled everything out. I was like, he said, psych.
Like, you almost had it.
I was like, yo, 3 o'clock outside of the schoolyard, you and me, brother. That's
got
it.
You, it's on. You got it you. On.
I was like, yo.
Damn, that is hard.
Holy so never God. Again. Never again.
Right?
I'm not changing it.
Man, that's the life. That's the world of the crowdfunding, man. You just, you're at the mercy. You're at the mercy. Indiegogo takes your money right away. Yeah. Indiegogo doesn't play around. They just poop. Your money's gone. Forget it.
You pledge. Like, come again.
That's it. That's it. Over. How long does it take them to give the money to you, though? If you're the person behind the scenes, collect, like if you're the creator, how long does that take? Because it still takes about a week, which I don't understand.
No, Kickstarter takes 2 weeks. Kickstarter takes exactly 14 days.
Yeah, no, Kickstarter. Yeah, but I'm saying Indiegogo. How
Indiegogo,
long?
Indiegogo, I forgot because it's been a minute since I've done it, but I forgot. I think it's like. It's over a week. But it's not 14 days.
Yeah.
I think it's shorter than that, but it's a week, it's over a week because they got to reconcile and they got to take their money.
No, they don't have to reconcile what? They collected all the money up front.
They got to take their percentage. It just goes into a whole, it goes into escrow. It sits there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't touch it.
Like with Kickstarter, I understand. They give people a week to kind of like make sure that their funds are right and then they try it again. And that takes, you know, that obviously takes a little longer, but. Yeah, that's the world we're in. But tonight we have a person who's actually on Kickstarter and doing very well. They have 10 days left of the campaign, 76 backers in. They've made their goal, so you guys are getting your stuff. And at this point, I'm thinking maybe we're going into some stretch goals. I don't know. But it's Digital Lizards of Doom Level 3, Dana Deathly. And the guest that will be coming on in a few minutes – Mark Bernal is one of them. He is actually part of Lesser Known Comics, who's the publisher, I believe. And we'll straighten that out, Digital Lizards of Doom. Right. And so the book is coming out through them. But this campaign, this book looks fun. It looks really, really cool. Can't wait for you guys to check it out. Yeah. So that's coming up in just a few minutes, man.
Yeah, but if you haven't done so already, please subscribe, like, share, tell a friend. You know, the more people that subscribe to the channel, there's more eyes on the independent guests that we have on the show. As we grow, everybody else grows. So don't forget to do that. We appreciate every single one of you. The Crazy Tellerless will be back next Monday. Unfortunately, I had deadlines to meet and I could not fit it into my agenda, but it will be back next Monday. So for anybody who missed that episode, you know, my bad. With that said, so we're going to play a bump from our girls over at Raging. And when we come back, we're going to bring our guests into the show. So hold on. Time to welcome our guests, Mark Brunell and Gabriel Valentine.
What's up, guys?
What's up? How's it going, gentlemen?
All right.
Is it Valentine or Valentine?
It's Valentine, but you know,
yeah, there you go. Valentine.
Either one works. Yeah.
What's going on? Hey, Mark, welcome back. Welcome back to the show, man.
Good to
welcome
see
back.
You guys. Hey, yes. I got something to show off.
Oh, look at this.
And hey, is Dan still on the chat?
I don't know. Let's see. That looks sick.
Yes, he is.
You've got that.
Look at that.
Look at this.
All right. In the house.
I love it. Listen, Mark, the last time you were on, I told you that the next time you came on, hopefully you'd be better known comics. And dude, you're doing your thing, brother. You're doing your thing. I love it.
Trying.
Guys, for those who don't know, this is Mark Bernal. This is Gabriel Valentine. Mark is from Lesser Known Comics, and Gabe has a book. Dude, your book looks dope, bro. I was looking at your campaign, the pages. Fun. It looks like a lot of fun. It's a nice thick book too, which I like. A lot of reading there. But before we get into some of that stuff, we'll start with you, Gabe. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into this crazy business.
Yeah, so I'm just a nerd, you know, someone who just grew up loving Final Fantasy and video games and comics and Superman and Batman. And I just I love movies, like, you know, science fiction movies, 80s movies, 90s movies, 2000s, all this stuff, man. I could never get enough of it. And so as I was, you know, headed out of high school and getting into my adult life, you know, there's a lot of pressure to pick a career and you know, do all this stuff. And I just wasn't really passionate about anything. You know, my dad is in, that's right, Final Fantasy, dude. My dad, you know, there's just a lot of pressure to get into engineering or get into the military or whatever. And I just, you know, my family did that kind of stuff, and I just wasn't really for me. And so I wasn't good at drawing, so I felt like, you know, I couldn't be getting into comics like I wanted to. And but then I was like, I realized that for some reason I never got the memo that you can write stories, you don't have to draw the stories. And so I wrote a bunch of different stories and eventually landed on Digital Lizards of Doom. And at the time I didn't have enough money to finance the books, so I created a musical element that would basically be as like a loss leader for the books, like a sort of promotional marketing tool that I would get people interested in the Digital Lizards of Doom universe. And then eventually when the books came out, they would kind of be primed, for lack of a better word, to accept how crazy the story was. So that's why we have so much music available online. If you guys go to Digital Lizards of Doom, type it in on, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Google, whatever, you'll find a whole bunch of songs. And, you know, the songs are all references to these different adventures and characters. So that's what I did for years until I got picked up by a different publisher. And then the first book came out. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. And the first book came out. And then we moved over to Lesser Known Comics, which is my home now. And finally on a solid publisher. And it's just great. It's just awesome. So that's the short version.
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome.
Just a quick question. How did you dodge not following in your family's footsteps and going to the military? How'd you pull that one off?
Oh, man. Getting exiled, basically. No, my whole family is pretty much like placed in the military. My dad is Air Force. My mom's Marine.
Wow.
My sister went to the Navy. My uncles are in the Navy. My aunt was a Marine. It just goes on and on. And I have a lot of police and military in my family. And so I think that was just like expected of me. And but I mean, we're cool now. Like, now it's different. When I was 19, I was 18, 19 when this was happening. And I was like, I'm going to go play in a band and like tour the world. And they're just like, oh no, we failed you. And so it's a lot different now. You know, they're starting to see things and like, oh, you're like, you're in this, I saw you were in this article, or and it's like, why is someone interviewing you? <You know>? What are you doing? The coolest one was now, you know, my mom's out of the military now, and she had a client that came in, and she was she works for the American Red Cross now, and she had a client that came in, and she just was trying to start a conversation with her client, and she was like, "What kind of music are you into?" And her client, I guess, was like, "Oh, like I'm into weird stuff." She's like, "What kind of stuff?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm into this band called Digital Wizards of Doom."
Get the hell out of here.
That was the moment where she was like,
"What?"
She was like, "Wait, like that's funny. That's the name of my son's band." Like, she couldn't even like make the. She's like,
"That's amazing.
That must be a thing the kids are saying these days." And then like, he's like, "What, you've heard of Digital Wizards of Doom?" And she's like, "Well, my son has the same name in his band, but it's like obviously not the same band. Like, this is like, you're talking about like a real band, you know?" He's like, "Oh yeah, like rock, like." And he was like, "Oh yeah, they have a song like Rock Me Like a Dinosaur, like Meteor Day." And then she was like, "Wait, like," and then she called me like freaking out. She's like, "Are you famous?" And I was like, "No, but I mean, people know the band like that are into that. It's a very, you know, niche market."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was just, that was like part of the, that was part of like the transition to be like, oh, okay, maybe you're not going to just be like a starving artist the rest of your life.
Ah, that's awesome, bro. Awesome. Great story. Great story. Yeah. And real quick before we move on, Mark, just tell us about yourself a little bit, but tell us about, you know, how you got into this whole thing and who you are exactly.
Yeah. So I actually did go into the military for like, so this is like my second career after. So now Gabe is still surrounded by like,
yeah, these former military. Can't get away from it, Gabe.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's on the last episode, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, what we were trying to do as like a company. And, you know, for the most part, we've been for like first time creators, but Gabe reached out to us, you know, during the summer and was basically like in this transition period, like coming off of the old publisher and was just like, "Hey, you know," and we were buddies, like kind of just like, you know, just in passing, right, on Instagram, and I was a fan of his music, and like we kind of both grew up in the same indie music scene, but he was in Southern California, I was in Northern California, so like music cousins. And I was just like, "Well, you can park Digital Wizards of Doom here as long as you want, and then just when you're ready to go somewhere else, go somewhere else." And then we just hit it off, and you know, he's been a good team member, and everyone's loved having him. And like, like even today, like dude put he recorded Enrique Iglesias. He was singing Hero, and he just like wrote, like he was like, "Oh, this is dedicated to Mark," and like it was like just showed up in my Instagram. Like, all right.
That's amazing.
I should have expected because like I knew we would be cool when like we were first posting like Digital Wizard Doom coming to Lesser Known. He was like, "Oh, I meant to use the sticker that said best friend, you know," but I'd use the one that said boyfriend on accident, but I'm gonna just leave it up there. And I was like, "Oh man." You know, like,
oh, that's amazing, dude. That's, you know, amazing, bro. Oh, great. What you know about Enrique Iglesias, bro? You know about Enrique, huh?
Oh, dude, I love Enrique.
What about his dad, Julio, though? What about his dad, OG Julio Iglesias?
Oh, dude, I don't know too much about Julio. I only know that one song. That one big song. Oh, man, what's the name of that song? God dang it, I can't remember the name of that song. But
he was huge, bro. He was huge.
Yeah, he was a bit. Yeah. He was the real deal. Yeah, yeah, so how it started is someone... I'm doing a little live thing tomorrow, and I posted, "Hey, let me know what kind of D-Lod songs, Digital Lizards of Doom songs you guys will hear tomorrow." And then someone was like, "It's not a D-Lod song, but I want to hear Hero by Enrique Iglesias." And so I feel it was just a love song, and I was in the moment, and then I was like recording it, and it was just such a tiny little thing. And I was like, I'm just going to dedicate this one to Mark. And
I get I love it. I love it. That's freaking awesome, man.
I've gotten so many comments on it too. Like, Mark, I didn't even tell you this, but because we talked like real quick before the episode, but like so many people are like, "Who's Mark? Are you like dating Mark?"
I know my wife's wondering. My wife's like,
is there something you want to tell me, Mark? That's that is great, man. That is great. But Gabe, so tell us a little bit about you know, digital lizards of doom. It's a great freaking title, dude. Like,
thank you, man.
Where did the idea come from, bro? Like, how did that start?
Yeah, so I've always been since high school era, I've had this obsession with like multiple universes and like trickster mythology, like Norse mythology, like Loki. I'm not talking Marvel. I'm talking about like the actual like Loki. Right. Like he could, you read like these Loki stories are so cool. He could change someone's reality, and you know, someone could, he could take an elderly person and make them feel like they were a kid again and live an entire lifetime, and then drop them back off in the moment that he left them, and they would have all this life experience. They wouldn't even remember their family and stuff. It'd be just this crazy thing. And I just thought that was so cool. And so I was like, what if there was like this demon type character who ended up becoming Pineapple Pete, this pineapple demon who trapped an entire universe of characters inside. There he is. There he is. And wow. Trapped an entire universe of characters inside a video game simulation. And they were still themselves, but they were living out this life. And it was so real that they had no idea they were trapped inside a video game. And that concept just evolved into so many different things. And then as the characters, I focus on character development more than anything. Yeah. So as I got the characters locked in, even before the main story evolved, it was like as these new challenges were introduced into the story, the characters just kind of reacted on their own. So it kind of started writing itself at a certain point, which I thought was really cool, because I was like, you know, this thing happens now in the story I want to tell, but then I would kind of change the direction, because I was like, Dana Deathly wouldn't respond this way. She would respond this way. Fat Cat Rogers, if he was approached with this option, he would definitely take it, even if it was to screw someone over, because he's a pirate. That's his character. Mm-hmm. And so it just totally, the original story I had, the concept has always been the same, but the story I had was completely different, because as I started writing it down book by book, the characters kind of made their own decisions, and they were just so locked in. And so, but what's really cool is the ending hasn't changed. It's a series of 8 books, possibly 9, if depending, because book 8 is super thick. It's massive. So that may get turned into 2 parts. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that yet, but yeah, it's like after a while, it just became this thing that kind of got out of control, and it was originally just supposed to be a short story, and now it's a full-blown 8-page like OGN series. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Crazy. I'm just gonna share the screen.
Oh yeah, no, cool. And Mark, so I know you guys said you know you guys were buddies from Instagram, but like, did you get a copy of the, like, as far as picking it up for publishing and stuff like that? I mean, listen, aside of all this, it's always a business, you know, thing that you have to think with your business hat. So what was it about it that attracted you to it? Are you also into the genre, or like, what was your, like, how did you decide?
So it's kind of funny, because like me and Gabe got along, you know, super, super well right off the bat, right? So you're like, oh, I'm looking at the art, I like it, you know. Me and you get along really, really well. Like, we share like a lot of concepts and stuff. Like, we're interested in the same thing.
Right.
And I'm like, man, this is going to be great. I get the book and I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it's not like any comic book you've ever read, right? It's the weirdest format. Like, cause you know, first off, right off the bat, like, you know, we're in the indie comic book scene. So we see, you know, There's an alien in my toilet. It's sitting right here, right? But like, it's pineapple, ancient pineapple demon, cyborg cat pirate, you know, zombie ninja, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, and then you open it up and it's a weird format in the fact that it does follow like that video game thing where it's like, you know, you choose your character, you know, and then each book kind of follows along, like you're choosing a different character essentially in each of those books. So it follows like that in each book. Then you get into it. It's got this like tablet layout, like you're reading it like something in the tablet, and then the art's on the side, and then it goes to like, you know, in-game chat. But the other thing about it too is like Gabe's writing style, like breaks the fourth wall right off the bat. So right in the first book, he's like, he starts telling you the backstory about this universe, but then the narrator's kind of like, ah, this is some boring shit. You can skip to like page 17. So I'm like laughing and like getting the history at the same time. And like, and it was one of those things, like, you know, when you have those books where you're just like, you realize it's like a few hours later and you're like, dude, where did the afternoon go? I just blew through this book, you know? So, so it's a totally different experience from anything, you know, just like traditional sequential art, right? That we talk about. but yeah, it was really, it's nothing like anything out there that I really seen. And then everything that he's doing from the multimedia stuff, right? He's like, oh, you got music too. And I knew the music, but he was like, he's got an orchestral version. He's got an 8-bit version. He sent me this thing, like this song that's like been stuck in my head called Pineapple Chunks. And I was like, what's this? He's like, oh yeah, it's kind of from like the new synth pop wave thing that I'm like, it's not released yet. And I was like, of course, you got like a synth pop record too. And then I've told this story a couple times, but like the first time I went to LA Comic Con with him, we're unloading these boxes. And I got this heavy ass box and I'm like moving it. And I'm like, assume it's books, assume it's, you know, something to do with the booth. And there's puppets. And I was like, wait. But he's like, yeah, it's for the puppet show. And I was like, of course it's like, freaking puppet show. Like, give me a break, man. Like, you know, like I can only absorb so much, you know. It's like having that like hot new girlfriend that just like is always doing something that's slightly not normal. You know, it's fine. She's hot. Like just let it go.
Oh my God. So wait, hold on. Before we even move on, explain these puppets, Gabe. Like, what's up with these puppets? What, you guys did a puppet show at the con? What's going on?
So the puppets, the puppet concept came from, at the time, I was on a different publisher, and I'm trying to think if I can say any of this. There was a potential movie deal in the works, and I'm a very proactive person. And so I went ahead and I was executive producer and producer for this project. And so we started shoplisting the movie. We found locations. We had a script for the movie. We were starting to contact actors. And so we needed part of the movie was basically about this kid who runs a podcast called Digital Lizards of Doom. And then he invites his parents in for an episode. He wants to interview them. And as he's interviewing them, it's all about your imagination, and he convinces them to use their imagination. And as they use their imagination, the characters become real, and the movie continues with they start to realize like things are actually changing around their world. And so we had to get the puppets. So I got these puppets made in New Zealand, and it was, we got Commander Echo, Dizzy Doom, Dana Deathly, and Pineapple Pete made in New Zealand. But then I ran out of money because puppets were like, they're like movie quality puppets. They're like puppets. And so I ran out of funds I ran out of puppet funds pretty quickly. obviously since I paid for it, I got to keep the puppets. So, that was cool, but you know, I'm going to do something with them eventually. Right now it's all about the books. And there's a couple things on the back burner, but, I'm focusing on the books right now. And then, we're fully cast right now for an audio book version of book one. So we already have, I think, 4 of the actors recorded. They've already come into the studio and done their lines. And so I think that might be an application for them, for the puppets, is like having the characters read the books. So that, I just think that'd be kind of cool. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's puppets, man.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. You, Sam, you want to play the video? How long is the video, guys? Do we know?
Oh, it's like, I think it's a minute and a couple seconds. Actually, you'll see the puppets. You'll see one of the puppets, or maybe a couple of puppets, in this video. So
that's amazing.
People used to tell me that evil robots weren't real. But then one day, I saw one. And he was driving a car. I started to think that there might be people out there just like me. People who wanted to know the truth. And that's when I discovered
Digital Lizards of Doom! It told me everything I wanted to know about space mermaids and how they live on planets made out of donuts. It taught me about lizard wizards and how they use their powers to fight evil. I learned about cyborg cat pirates and how they sail across the galaxy looking for treasure. And most importantly, I learned about Dana Death, a zombie ninja warrior who uses the power of guitar karate. All of these truths and more can be discovered in the Digital Lizards of Doom graphic novel series. So, what are you waiting for? Start your adventure today and uncover these mysteries for yourself.
That's dope. That's dope, bro. You know, it's crazy. So you know, truth be told, I pledged to the book, which I can't wait to get it. But I never watched the video, bro. And it's like, something I'm like, how many people actually watched the video? But I should have watched it. This thing is amazing, dude. Good stuff, bro.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And it's funny, Mark, when I was hearing you describe how unorthodox the style was, it reminded me of how when Diary of a Wimpy Kid came out, it was very different, the format, the structure, and it just popped off because it had heart and the characters were relatable and the story was funny. So when you were talking about it, I went straight there. So, I mean, just based on what I'm seeing and whatever we've learned today, I mean, I can see why there's an attraction to your brand.
Gabe, the idea of doing it the way you did it, I mean, you know, obviously, like all the different things, the world, that the way you make us travel through it, where did that come from? I mean, I know you said you were into comics and stuff like that. This is something completely different than what we normally see in comics. Take us through that mindset. How did you come up with this concept of doing it this way and not doing floppies? Because these are, how big is this book? How many pages?
Book one is 128. Book two is 172.
I should know these numbers as the publisher.
Yeah, because Mark's just like counting how much it's gonna cost. I think book three is the biggest. I think book three is like 100. I think it's 180 something.
Damn.
Mark, am I close? Am I right? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to, depending on the, you know, because you got to count the cover and then like those other pages, you know, front back credits and all that stuff. So
yeah, it's they're all just under 200 pages, basically. That's the problem, or not problem, but that's right now, book 8 is, I think, 102 pages of dialogue.
Wow.
And so that would loosely translate into like 220 something pages. So it's so yeah, there's a huge chance if I can't, and I don't want to edit stuff down. Well, I've already edited a lot of stuff out. Because I'm also going to be making novel versions of the books as well. So a little like novelization, so you can kind of hear what's going on inside the characters' heads when what they're thinking. But yeah, I mean, as far as the concept, you know, as those who are listening, you know, as a gamer, some of your fondest memories growing up are that Friday night, you're done with school, your friend hits you up, or you've been planning it all week, either way, and you go to your friend's house. You know, the new Final Fantasy just came out. You get your PlayStation 2, you sit down, you go to Blockbuster, whatever it is, you rent the game, you go to GameStop, and you eat pizza, you know, your friend's parents get you pizza, and you eat your pizza as fast as you can, and you're looking at the Game Informer magazine, and you're just talking about all this stuff that you can't wait to experience, and all the stuff you've been reading about the game the whole week, and then you pop it in, and then the title screen comes up, and then the cinematic cutscene comes up, and then you finally start your file, and you pick your name of your character, and you pick your character, and you build your team, and then there's another cutscene. And then as you're walking through the game, you start to learn the other characters and the names, their names. It's just so like that feeling. I just wanted to capture that.
That's awesome.
And I couldn't do it with a game, you know, not even just financially, just also when you're playing a game, you're playing that game. That game doesn't capture that feeling that it's, because you're living it, right? So I wanted to capture a memory. I wanted to capture a feeling, a vibe, and all encompassing all of those things at the same time. So I wanted to really make the person feel less like a fly on the wall and more of they're a part of the world. And Pineapple Pete actually talks to the audience, the reader, the entire time. Mm-hmm. So you're, whether you want to be or not, if you're reading this book, you are actually a character inside the book itself, which is also something, not really a spoiler, that will come into play in the final book, which is really cool. It's been really difficult, but I feel like I don't want to say like have a formula now, but because that word I think can like come off sounding like we're cheating or something, but it's not so much a formula, but I think we have a basis of where we can take it now. And that's really exciting because if anything, it's more work really, right? Because for one, the emoticons. So every character that talks in the book has 25 different facial expressions that are drawn separately by a different artist. And every time the character speaks, they make a different facial expression. And I thought that was the coolest idea when I came up with it. And then I was like, I got the bill for how much that was going to cost. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. Like, why did I think this is a good idea? I should have done like three faces, like a sad one, a happy one, and like an angry one.
25.
It's crazy, but it works so much better. It feels so much more alive. You know, there's so many different expressions, and it really, if the character is sad, there's multiple sad expressions that they can make. And you really start to feel, again, less like a fly on the wall and more of a participant in this, right, in this journey. And and also too, just because I thought it was dope, I just wanted to make something.
What I think is brilliant about your approach is that not only I think you also made it easy in the event that you're going to pitch it as a game, because you had the prototype, you have the whole play, the gameplay there, and the design. So you just made it easy for a potential investor or game design company to be able to walk in and see it and just like, all right, let's go forward. So I thought that was a brilliant strategy on your part.
Thanks, man. Thank you, dude. I I might have some news on that soon too. Talk about. So
outstanding. Congratulations.
The video game thing is, it might be closer than I originally thought. So that's kind of exciting right now.
Fantastic.
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. I mean, this is amazing, dude. Now, I know this campaign, and just going back to the campaign real quick, I know this campaign is for the third installment, the third graphic novel in the Adventures of V-Lod. So do you need the first two to kind of understand the third? Is there like a catch-up tier where you can get all three? Walk us a little bit through, you know what you get in this campaign.
Actually, so as the writer, I feel like you need all of them, but I would like to get Mark's opinion on this. So as someone who didn't write it, what do you think, Mark? As someone who's read
not, it's you can. So yeah, there is the catch-up tier, and I think that's always like, because it's fun to see those. So with every new level, you know, because they're levels instead of books, is they change like the art styles, you know, slightly, and but. The cool thing about these books, how approachable and digestible they are, it feels like a Saturday morning cartoon, but at the same time, like, you have people who are coming to terms with their role in life or their role in this video game or the role of where they are. And like, you know, they're finding out they're more complicated than just, you know, good or bad and things like that. So it's, to me, it was like, man, it's got some deep philosophical undertones, you know? So like, so I think you can jump in anywhere and have like a good Saturday morning cartoon adventure. But like, for somebody who like wants to get that challenge from like that, you know, like philosophical level and you know, the whole canon of the book, you know, like, it's definitely good to come in and get those, you know, get those three. Right. And I'm already excited because he's got, you know, book four in the works and stuff like that already. And then the other cool thing too is Gabe added we have Gabe's pull list, which has like some of the books from LKC, you know, so if you want to throw in a bundle of LKC books. The other cool thing that we started doing was you were probably on it, the variant cover. It was... should have been that middle one. So our next release as lesser known, further down, for lesser known comics is by a guy named Ray Garza. He's doing a book called Tank McGregor. The cool thing now that we're starting to do is that variant cover right there that has the white background, as like that was it, the
that one?
That's the artist for the next book we're releasing as like a publisher.
Cool.
So seeing that, like, we, whoever's like next in the hopper is like contributing to the current books, smart, you know, that are in.
Yeah.
One, it's cool to, you know, to introduce people to new artists and stuff like that. But then it's also cool, like, just from a standpoint of like a team building thing and stuff like that. Because like Ray jumped all over it. I was like, who, I didn't even finish the sentence. I was like, who wants to do a variant? And he was like, I got it. You know, so he did a killer job on it as well. But yeah, that's probably a longer answer than you asked for.
No, it looks great. And I think I love how you structured it, Mark, where you, like, it's very difficult to see like a young startup, you know, independent publisher come up and get to where you are, you guys are getting. But I think that there is a method to all of the madness, and you guys are doing an incredible job. And adding Gabe to the mix looks like, you know, it's a win. It's a win for everybody. And I love Gabe. I love the commitment to these books, bro. Over 100 pages on each book. That's incredible, dude.
It makes me want to pull my hair out sometimes. That's incredible. Yeah, like, there's no filler too. So like, there's no, like there, when I wrote the story, it was, that's why each book is named after a character. It's a main character. So it's Dizzy Doom, Commander Echo, Dana Deathly, Fat Cat Rogers, Shaky Spears, Spider Nose, Warty Morta, and then book 8, which is our final boss battle. So they're all levels 1 through 7. And then the book 8 is the final boss. And yeah, there's that you like very specific things happen in every single story. So there was, you know, as these books, as the story was growing and they were getting bigger, I was like, oh man, I mean, I want to cut this down, but I really couldn't find too much fat to trim off of it. You know, like there was so much stuff that needed to be said and for people to get what was going on. And we still edited like a ton of stuff. That's why I can't wait to do the novelizations, because they're going to be a lot longer, and most of that stuff is just, you know, thought processes and what was happening in between, like travel time. So we cut out a lot of the travel time, unless one of those because there's, we go to different planets. There's so many different planets and galaxies that exist in the universe. And I actually do have, I don't think I have it near me, but there's actually a list of history that I made. So I made my own Bible, my own history book in a sense, of when characters were born, you know, what house they come from, like what their lineage is, what planet they were born what they eat, all of that stuff, because, you know, even the creatures that exist in the universe, what planets they come from, all these different types of things. And when I was making it, I was doing it just mainly because I'm a huge nerd, but then also I'm glad I did it, because book 4, which I gotta say was probably one of the hardest books I've ever had to write.
Really?
And even though the story was there, filling the whole thing in was really difficult because it's a time travel story. And so I found myself like getting lost because it was a time travel story. And I wanted to make sure continuity is so, so important to me. And so I wanted to make sure I was getting it right. And I went back to my own encyclopedia and I was like looking at these dates and being like, okay, cool. So that person wasn't born yet. So you know, these people in this town wouldn't know who that is yet. And then da, 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 da. And I'm glad I did that. But yeah, I just talked about this on a podcast, like a week ago, and I added up the years, and there's 28,000 years of history before book one starts.
Dang. Oh wow.
And it's filled. It's not like there's no missing. There's like each age has a story inside of it. So there's I don't know, countless books there too. And hopefully we can explore that later. But now it's just about this main book series. So
definitely. Listen, we definitely would have to have you back on the show just to deep dive into just your creative process. Cause that fascinates me, man. The fact that you have thought of all these things prior to even putting anything on paper, that's the way to do it. And like I said, I commend you for it. So we're definitely gonna have to talk about that. For those watching, make sure that you go to Kickstarter and you type in Digital Lizards of Doom. Obviously, it's gonna be in the show notes. The link is there. Make sure you support the book. It's 10 days to go. We're definitely gonna have to have you back. Mark, you're always welcome. You know you are, my man. I'm happy with everything you're doing. It's amazing.
Amazing. But I do want to say one thing. One of the reasons why we do this is because we want to spotlight independence. And once in a while, we have someone on the show that really has their finger on the nerve and like is moving in a way that's going to attract eyes. And I think that's what you're doing. And I think you created your own path, your own niche. And I think, I think the stars are going to align in your favor. So keep doing what you're doing. It's very exciting to see what you're doing. It's very inspiring, especially for someone like me, who's been in the game for a minute. When I see someone like you coming from left, I'm like, oh, look at this guy right here. So my eyes are there. So kudos to you. Great job. And much success to what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much, man. It's well, you guys know, you guys are creators yourselves, and it's not easy. There's a lot of dark days. There's a lot of doors. Like for me, I had to get. I don't know if you guys listen to like Gary Vee or anybody like that.
Gary Vee's
he was super instrumental because I had to get used to rejection, and that was a really hard thing. I had to get used to nobody like wanted to work with D-Lod or to pick up the book or anything like that. It was so hard. And even before the book was a physical thing, it was just a concept idea. And you know, I've saved all these emails, but I have crazy emails from people like your singing voice is terrible, your guitar playing is terrible, you know, no, you shouldn't make music, your writing is amateur at best, you know, like all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I had to just block it out and keep going. And it's crazy now that one of the people who I actually just mentioned hit me up recently. They wanted to collaborate on a project. And
that's isn't that interesting?
It's weird, man. Yeah, it's really weird. So
yeah, man. Hey, keep doing it, man. Keep doing it. You know, that's all it is. Not giving up. But you guys have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Big shout out to Mark Torres, who says he loves anybody with name Mark. It's been in his book. So big shout out to
you, brother.
but yeah, guys, thank you so much. And yes. you want to give us your quick social handles where people can find you before we let you go? We'll start with you, Gabe.
Yeah, mine are, if it's Instagram, Digital Lizards of Doom, all one word. Hit me up, I'll send you some free stuff. And then everything else is just at DLod World. So DLodWorld.com, Twitter, DLod at DLod World. What else is there? There's something else. Facebook, D-Lod World, all that stuff. So
cool.
But yeah, hit me up. Join the mailing list. You get a bunch of free music for signing up on our mailing list. It just gets sent to your email right away. And check us out on Spotify and Apple Music and Google too. Just type in Digital Lizards of Doom. We have, you know, it doesn't matter what genre of music you're into, we have a genre for you. Awesome. We have metal, pop, hip hop, classical, Eastern European, rock, it's all there. Blues. Yeah, so come and check it out. It's wild.
Cool. Awesome. And Mark?
Yeah, lesserknowncomics.com. Instagram's always the best, at lesserknowncomics. Just keep up with anything. And then I appreciate what you guys do. You know, it's a community, right? And it is hard to keep going. You know, there's some tough days when it comes to making comics. And so what you guys do to help other artists and to support each other and stuff like that, you know, I just can't say thank you enough. And I'd say to anybody out there who's in the scene as well, you know, reach out, especially if you know you just need a buddy in the scene. You know, we got a whole crew of folks like Gabe that are just, you know, the nicest people in the world. So definitely don't be a stranger.
Awesome. Thank you guys
for being on the show, and much success to both of you.
Thank you, man.
Peace, guys.
All right. And so that was this episode of Catch the Craze. Join us in 3 minutes as we're going to be back with Robert Garcia talking about his book. With that said, I'm saying the crazy man Vera.
George and Dreamer Medina. Peace.
No, I was talking about my friend Aquis. I met him.
Say my name.
Right?
This is what you were thinking?
You describe me? He said, I'm the idiot.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Bobby. Candy girl.